The UK proposed resolution on Yemen, which mentions Iran to have transferred weapons, was meant to have sanctions imposed on Iran. Will it face a veto from Russia? Iran says that spells another foreign policy failure, not only for the UK, but for the U.S. also. Russia additionally said this resolution has dangerous destabilizing ramifications, not only for Yemen, but to the region as a whole. Well, in this debate, we'll look at why the UN veto-wielding members, the U.S. and the U.K., are zooming in on the country being bombed and facing a humanitarian crisis, and also Iran, when it should focus on the country doing the bombing, namely Saudi Arabia.
The 15-member UN Security Council unanimously adopted a resolution extending sanctions against Yemen for another year, but not before Russia, a permanent member of the high body, used its veto power to block a UK text that pushed for, quote, additional measures against Iran over accusations that it violated an arms embargo in the war-torn country.
I will be frank. The wording advanced in the British draft is liable to have dangerous destabilizing ramifications, and this is not only applicable to the situation in Yemen, but also to the region as a whole.
The United States, in response, lashed out at Russia for not supporting Washington's claims against Iran.
When in fact Russia's veto today serves only to protect Iran's efforts to destabilize the region.
In a statement released after Monday's UN Security Council meeting, Iran said it, quote, categorically rejects allegations regarding arms transfer to Yemen and firmly believes that such attempts by U.S. and U.K. as the major military supporters of the war of aggression against Yemen aims to distract the international community from realities in Yemen and the catastrophic humanitarian situation that has resulted from the relentless and brutal attacks by the Saudi-led coalition during the past 3 years.
Fortunately, the situation in Yemen is in humanitarian crisis, and U.S. and U.K. wanted to cover up what they have provided, what weaponry they have provided to Saudis and through Saudi bombing Yemen in the last 3 years, and they are bombing it unabatedly.
Iran's ambassador to the UN also noted that Tehran has, from the start, stressed that the only way forward is a consensus-based political settlement to the crisis in the war-torn country.
Yemen has only political solution, and there is no military solution, and more bombing would create more crisis in Yemen.
While the UN Security Council continues with politics as usual and bickering over different resolutions, Yemen faces the world's worst humanitarian crisis, with over 22 million people, including children, in dire need of assistance, 8 million of which are at risk of famine. Susan Madaris, Press TV, New York.
Our guest joining us with this edition of The Debate, Managing Editor at Veterans Today, Jim Dean, joins us from Atlanta. We have Chairman of the Conservative Arab Network, Wafiq Mustafa, who joins us from London. Welcome, gentlemen. Wafiq Mustafa, the UK proposed resolution was vetoed by Russia. The reason Iran was mentioned in the resolution was the veto a failure for the U.S. and its foreign policy?
Well, the veto was not a surprise. Everybody expected Russia will veto such a resolution. And I feel the humanitarian situation in Yemen, where is almost a mini world war is taking place in a forgotten part of the world. No focus, the media hardly focus on what happened in Yemen. And I think there's a lot of underestimating how many people been killed. I'm sure it's well over 10,000 people have been killed in Yemen. And now we're getting the rainy season where diseases will spread like typhoid, like cholera, like dysentery, like diphtheria. I think the country needs a huge push for peace because as your colleague spoke earlier, only political solution is possible for Yemen and no winners at any time. Now is almost 3 years in the war and nobody is winning and no light at the end of the tunnel. And I hope there will be a resolution which is acceptable to all powers which are involved in Yemen currently.
Well, Jim Dean, if we were to take a look at the whole situation as a whole here, one of the basic questions that comes up is why did the UK resolution not mention any adverse impact of the Saudi-led campaign on the Yemeni population? I mean, that is what should be the focus. Our guest there in London also covered that in that respect. Why did this not focus on that?
Well, we have the typical thing we've seen so much in the past. The Western imperialists want to make Iran the boogeyman for everything in the region, and they're trying to basically hide the history of failure that they've had in the region, spreading death and destruction everywhere they have gone. We have this incredible situation where the poorest Arab nation in the region is fallen victim to not only the attack by the Saudis, but the British and the U.S. militaries have been involved in this up to their eyeballs. They've been flying the refueling planes, the targeting. They've been helping them with targeting. They have been actively involved in the military campaign of the bombing. So therefore, all of the mistakes when civilians had been killed, Britain and the U.S. Bear a very big responsibility to that. And then we go next to all of the ceasefires that the UN did. And I don't think one of them lasted 24 hours before the Saudis just bombed them again. So we have a situation where the Saudis are threatened by the possibility of having a democratic state on their borders, which may spill over inside the country themselves. And they basically decided we have to crush this. So they do not want a solution other than to just win by attrition. And they're hoping that the Yemeni people will go get so sick and tired of the war that they'll finally just say, make any kind of deal you possibly can just to stop the bombing. It's a war of attrition. I consider it a war crime and a crime against humanity. And again, it's something that we have not seen the UN be able to do very much at all.
Well, we have, Wafiq Mustafa, reactions now that have come through, and also before this resolution was put forward. For example, let's take a look at one from Russia. I'd like to get your reaction on it. Russia said the UK draft is aimed at advancing a geopolitical agenda of certain countries and is based on the selective and contentious conclusions of the UN experts panel. Who is Russia referring to in terms of having a geopolitical agenda, and what is that agenda?
Well, there is no doubt that Russia have a huge interest in the Middle East, and particularly if you link Yemen and Syria together. I mean, Syria, Russia have more or less affected a form of temporary ceasefire in Syria, for example, not the Russian regime. It was Russia who led the way. And I think it's very important for all the parts involved to admit they are responsible. There's nothing wrong with that, but they can move forward by adopting a solution which is acceptable to all sides rather than blaming one side or another. I mean, no doubt Iran have stakes in this, in what happened in Yemen, as much as the United States, as much as the Saudi-led coalition in Yemen, and other countries too. So I think it's very important to come to the understanding that really what the final end game would be. A disintegrated country, with no infrastructure whatsoever. I wouldn't even call it a failed state. That is a stage beyond the failed stage state. Not even like Somalia when it was failed state. I think you're going to have a worse situation. And 24 million people is a huge population to contemplate as a disintegrated tribal 2,000 years behind history. I think it's a terrible tragedy.
Well, the U.S. reaction, let's look at that, Jim Dean. One of them, it has said, that blaming Moscow, and it said that it has blamed Russia for shielding a terrorist sponsoring Iran. And I'm quoting here, Russia prevented accountability in the entire region. Now, last time we checked, isn't Saudi Arabia doing most of the bombing in this on this country and causing most of the casualties and damages, which at this point figures are running probably above 14,000 in terms of deaths?
They certainly are. And the few missiles that the Houthis have been able to fire back have basically been symbolic in terms of destruction. I would say Saudi Arabia has a 100-to-1 advantage over what the Yemenis have been able to inflict on them, probably 1,000-to-1. So for these big, powerful, and rich nations to sit here and try to talk about some kind of offense or they're under threat from the Yemenis, they're firing the Scud missiles off just to show their own people that we're not taking this lying down. We will fire back with whatever we can, and which, by the way, they have a right under international law in the UN Charter. Every country has a right to defense. And to have the West and the rich Gulf countries try to recast this as some kind of an aggression, and because Yemen is so poor, they have to bring Iran in, which with a full blockade, Iran's really not able to do very much for them. They don't have stealth airplanes that they're flying in with invisible cargoes. They can't ship anything in. And now they've brought Russia into the region. And Russia, by the way, really wasn't involved in Syria other than supporting them with some of their weapons and arms and training, which they did because they had trained the army. But they didn't come in militarily until our experts were saying that the jihadis and ISIS were within about 60 days of collapsing the Syrian army. So they came in desperation of knowing that if the jihadis marched into Damascus, we would have the whole region in a turmoil, which someone like Israel and the U.S. coalition, that seemed that that's what they really wanted to have happen. So we're wondering how long is the world public going to put up with these internationalist imperialists who are really the cause of all of this, when they fail in country after country, then just turning around and blaming those who have been trying to stop it for the entire time.
Very well. Let's take a quick listen to some of the viewer comments on this topic on our Facebook page, and we'll get right back to the debate.
Iran has become a thorn in the flesh of Zionism. They can only harass and unjustly sanction her. Beside that, they can't do anything. Forget about the US failure and its unilateral threats, as they are always doomed to fail. What has impressed me is the support of the Russian Federation towards the Islamic Republic of Iran. A friend in need is a friend indeed. The whole scenario of wars in Iraq, Syria, and Yemen is to foment crisis that will finally get at Iran through the Zionists and the US. Until the world stands firm and the Israelis and Americans tactically are taught a lesson, they won't back down on their moves. America's elite love war. They profit from it. The biggest majority of Americans, including myself, do not want war with Iran or anybody. Your allied militants keep bombarding Syria with American-made weaponry, but no one tries to sanction you. Are you a sanctioning country? Long live Iran, long live Yemen, long live Syria, long live Palestine. Everywhere the US and Saudi Arabia are being exposed.
Okay, those are some of the viewer comments here. Well, Wafiq Mustafa, we can't help but to bring up the issue of arms sales. You have both the UK and the US who, in the case of the US, has sold over $100 billion worth of arms to Saudi Arabia. And that obviously has to play a factor when you have the US ambassador sitting at the UN trying to throw blame, in this case, on Iran, and to take the focus away from Saudi Arabia. How big a factor does that play, you think, in this whole picture and landscape?
Well, I think the landscape, political, military, and the religion as well, is quite complicated in the Middle East. And I think it's very important to avert any confrontation between Iran and Saudi Arabia, for example, and which will end into confrontation between Sunni and Shia Islam in some way or another. And we got to recognize the fact there is different players in Yemen, and it is it's war by proxy, basically a miniature Syria game. And we got to really look what we're going to do in the next 5 years, because that's going to be a danger to the stability of the region. And hence, I prefer and I hope that Saudi Arabia and Gulf countries, United States, Britain, and Iran contribute to building infrastructure and some institutions in Yemen to make it to stabilize it as a country.
The U.S. role, Jim Dean, and I, you know, I'm not trying to zoom in just on the U.S. here, but of course, you know, when you have the facts here, I need to get them into the picture of our conversation and debate here. The U.S. Role is perhaps not as clear to the world as many perhaps are uninformed of it. And maybe you can tell us. I'm looking at here one report that indicates the way that the U.S. provides intelligence to Saudi Arabia. That is one thing that many people are not aware of. The U.S. says that we do provide the intelligence, but, it's the Saudis and their coalition that are the ones who take the decision. You tell us what that means exactly. And this particular report says that 1 in 3 Saudi air raids on Yemen hit civilian sites. And furthermore, some of these sites that Saudi says it was a mistake, they're repeat attacks from schools to hospitals to what have you.
Absolutely. The U.S. And the British are also supplying intelligence. That puts the UN, U.S. fingerprints on these attacks, and we have to wonder whether they're really mistakes. We saw when the bombing campaign started hitting the water structures and the increase in cholera, that itself is using a biological weapon. This was not something that was done by error. This was a campaign to make the children suffer. It was vicious and cruel, and this is why we feel that we've called this not to be hysterical, but these are war crimes. When you destroy infrastructure like that to hurt the civilian population, that's just like trying to bomb them with biological weapons. And we only found any discussion of that on alternative media. But we need to also step back and look at the big picture in this, which we have a wonderful source for, and that's the ex-foreign minister and prime minister of Qatar. And he was on the Charlie Rose show right here in the U.S., and he dropped the big bomb here that the U.S. coalition had spent $132 billion trying to overthrow Syria. We were really all shocked that he would, on U.S. TV, say that, and it really didn't spread throughout the whole media. We would have thought that would have been a big scandal. It was on the Charlie Rose show, and then it disappeared. So corporate Western media has also played a very key role in this, in hiding what's going on. And of course, part of that hiding process is they have to have a scapegoat. And Iran and Russia now have seemed to be their designated scapegoats for everything, every failure they have. They always blame it on one or the other.
And there you have London, the UK, Wafiq Mustafa, who's going to be hosting the prince. And again, the UK being one of the suppliers here. They have tried very hard, the UK and the US, even within their own governments, from lawmakers in the US to the UK, to try to push away the humanitarian side of this from the sales, arms sales that are going on. But yet you have Theresa May, who made that famous visit to the Persian Gulf region. And of course, Saudi Arabia was one of her stops. And she pledged the arms sales there. How is this reflecting on the UK when you look at the stats, which are the civilian casualties and probably the worst humanitarian situation that the world has seen?
Well, we have to bear in mind that Britain and the United States have a historical and complex relationship in the Middle East, as it used to have with during the Shah period, for example, with Iran. So we taking this into consideration, I think what's important is everyone to know that aerial bombardment does not win war. War cannot won historically by just throwing bombs from the air. But you have to get the, you know, win the hearts and minds of Yemeni people. And you win the hearts and minds by peaceful resolution, by providing economic aid, food, and medicine, to and shelter to these people displaced, the 22 million people. And I think it's very important. Blockade and bombs do not win war, and have not won so far for almost 3 years.
Jim Dean, in closing, our guest there talks about winning hearts and minds. How can hearts and minds be won when Saudi Arabia and the UAE themselves have infighting when it comes to the whole Yemen debacle at this point, in terms of the way that Hadi, if you recall that, how he was sidelined because of some of the infighting between these two countries? Do you think that this war is going to end anytime soon, Jim Dean?
I'm afraid not. The Saudi coalition, they're using mercenaries on the ground, which are cheap because their own people don't like to fight and they want to keep public support behind the war. There's no end to third world mercenaries that can be used in this thing. So this is the sad thing about it. They have all of this money. They have proxy fighters that they can use. The UN is powerless. And the world media basically is, no one cares about Yemen. Most people don't even know where it is. And there's really not enough people other than alternative media. No one is speaking up for them. And these big Western powers seem to have absolutely no embarrassment at having this horrible crime that's happening to Yemen on their ticket, because they have been involved in it up to their eyeballs, and they seem to have no embarrassment whatsoever.
Okay, we're going to end it there. Thank you for that, Managing Editor of Veterans Today, Jim Dean. And thank you, Chairman of the Conservative Arab Network, Wafiq Mustafa. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. From Mikhail Vitale and the entire team in the capital, Tehran. It's goodbye.